Life is full of ups and downs. It's easy to become despondent and lose hope. Obstacles and adversities show up when we least expect them, and of course, when we do expect them during divorce and major life transitions. And so we find ourselves out of our comfort zones, feeling like life is unfair, and we can very easily lose hope. On today's episode of Starting Over Stronger, we're going to talk with a divorce survivor named Beth, who has a little bit of a different story to tell. She's been through it, and she's here to tell you that hope makes everything possible. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Starting Over Stronger Show, where you'll find help and hope for your divorce survival and recovery. Divorce well, live well.
Welcome back to the Starting Over Stronger Show. I am excited today to bring you another divorce survival story. And this happens to be a friend of mine named Beth, and I'm just super excited to hear her story today. Welcome to the show, Beth.
Hi, Annie. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I'm excited. So we're going to talk today about, as you probably saw when you pulled the episode up, we're going to talk about hope. And yet, of course, hope doesn't just come automatically or easily. You have to go through something sometimes to get there. And so we're going to talk about what Beth has gone through in her divorce and her recovery from that. And then we'll talk about how hope has made everything possible for her in her life after divorce. So let's just start, though, Beth, with tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do in the world, where you are, and all those things.
Oh, thank you, Annie. First, I actually want to thank you so much for having me. I just think that what you have is such a great place for people to come to for help, answers, support. And, you know, you're just such an amazing resource for our community.
Thank you.
But I am Beth Langdon. And yes, what I love to do is to inspire others, especially through words and a mission of hope. There's so many things that I do. I'm actually retired after a successful career with the Federal Aviation Administration. But after that, I soon got into becoming an entrepreneur. And the reason why I wanted to be an entrepreneur is because, you know, life is not over after working. My husband and I, we've actually partnered together, and we love to help others, to bring them something that they might not be able to get their hands on otherwise. So we started a couple businesses, and some of the recent businesses that we're working on is empowering people to take control of their lives by having health care. That's the number one thing that we love to share with people. And so this is a way they can leave their job when they're ready, when they want to retire, or maybe they're an entrepreneur wanting to work on their own or being able to provide something for their employees. So that was just something that was very important to me after working a long career, 33 years, with having all the benefits and all the bells and whistles of being a government employee. I realized a lot of people don't have what we have. And so we wanted to be able to share that with others. So that's kind of the business side of it. Something else that I do is I'm on a mission, and I'm on a mission to get Bibles out to people. So that is something that has been so exciting for us this year. We've been able to ship 4,000 Bibles down to Honduras. We just sent some Bibles over to Poland to help with some of the American, you know, English speaking folks that were coming from Ukraine, but, you know, providing them with books of hope, because that, you know, God's word is what I also just think of when I think of hope. So that's something I'm on a mission, is helping those to get that word in their hands, because without that, I wouldn't be where I am today.
Mm-hmm. Which is what? Tell us about your life today outside of work. What is your family structure? What do you like to do in your free time? Tell us all the fun stuff.
Oh, the fun stuff. Yeah. Yes. Well, where is there fun in there? So after I retired, I had just remarried. So my husband of 7.5 years, he has 5 children and 7 grandchildren. And so when I met him, I had 2 children of my own. And so I guess you can say we blended a family, although all of our children were pretty much grown. So
yeah.
You can't really, I mean, they all have a great relationship. But my daughter got married soon after we got married and had married a guy that has 3 sons of his own. But the very, very special news here just this week is we found out that I'm going to have a granddaughter. So yay. We're growing our family even more. So you think, wow, how could anybody have a life other than just all of this family? But that is our life. You know, we just love each and every one of our kids. And even though they have their own lives and they're busy, we still try to fit in wherever we can and get together with them and love on them. But yeah, I think things will probably change this year. I'll probably spend a little more time in St. Louis where my daughter is after she has her.
Yeah.
But other than that, you know, I guess for fun, we love to travel. Travel's been a little bit restricted this year, but, and well, actually over the last 2 years, but we still try to get in those trips wherever we can and get out and see the country and sometimes other countries. So,
Well, that sounds great. Thank you for sharing. Mm-hmm. So the reason we're here today is because listeners of this podcast are either facing or enduring a divorce. And that's a really, really hard time of life. There's a lot that feels like it's against you, overwhelming, just really a lot of lack of hope, really. And when you're going through that. And so one of the goals of the podcast is to help, and the other is to offer hope. Mm-hmm. And so I do that a few different ways, but generally speaking, the help piece is I have attorneys and financial advisors and therapists and all kinds of people who come on and talk about the practical matters of divorce and recovery. And then I like to have people like you on who maybe they have that to offer as well, but they also have a story they want to share and a theme that they've taken away from that difficult season of their life. And so in order for listeners to take away the hope of your story, I think it's important for them to see when there wasn't so much hope and to know what you really had to endure on whatever level you're comfortable with. So if you would just share with us your story of your marriage failing and or ending and the divorce process, and you know, we'll go from there.
Oh boy, that's quite a handful, really, Annie. But I do want to say that anybody that's listening to this, I just want you to know that you're stronger than you realize, and you will be okay, and that you are loved. And I think that's an important message for anybody that is going through divorce or that is, if they come out of their divorce. So, well, I'm going to start this story with, I actually have had 4 last names.
Okay. That's news to me.
That's one way to put it. That's because I've been married 3 times. Okay.
Okay.
So, you know, I used to think that, wow, I failed at marriage, but I didn't fail at marriage. The only thing I failed at was learning to cook. I know that sounds funny, right? So what I learned through those 2 previous marriage was to find a guy who knew how to cook.
I might know a thing or two about that.
So it was great to meet my current husband who, like I said before, you know, we've been married 7.5 years and I absolutely adore him. But here's a really cool thing. And I start out by talking about him first because this is a positive message. I can honestly say that he loves and adores me. And I'm not saying that to boast. It's just because I know that because I prayed for my current husband. I prayed for him in a way that I'd never prayed before because I didn't know how. Mm-hmm. So, but once I learned that what we pray for, you know, we be intentional about that. We need to be intentional. So he was the person that I prayed and hoped for. So
Very good.
Why did I do that? Because after my second divorce, I decided it was time to work on me. My heart was really heavy and I literally was broken after that second marriage. I can't even imagine that I would have even considered getting married again, but I had to give myself time and had to put myself back together. But I guess I should really go back to my first marriage, you know, marrying that great high school friend, great guy, you know, everybody loved him. And we just were both very young, positive. I was finishing college. I was moving back home. And so I didn't really even live at home after I got out of college. I went kind of straight from college into getting married. And so I never really had that experience of living out there on my own. So I always thought that I had to be like my mom when I got married. And so my mom was the epitome of June Cleaver. And so there's a bunch of people that probably don't even know who June Cleaver is. But
it was like, well, they should look it up if you don't know.
Yeah, Leave It to Beaver family. And so she always, you know, was dressed nice, had her pearls on. And when her husband came home from work, had dinner ready, waiting on the table. And so that's who I thought I had to be too. I thought I had to have dinner ready. And, you know, my husband came home and I can remember trying to cut up a chicken and I failed at that. Okay. So if I failed at anything, I definitely fail at cooking. So I failed at the chicken. He came home and saw me sitting on the floor crying. He said, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "I can't get up a chicken like my mom, you know, and I'm trying to make dinner." And he said, "That's okay. We're going out to eat." So our whole marriage was based on going out to eat every night. So I never did learn to cook. So we did great cooking out on the grill. But, you know,
how long did that first marriage last?
It lasted 10 years, honestly. Okay. And really, I can't look back on it and say that it was really a bad marriage. But we had a lot of success as young people, and things did take a turn. And we had a child towards the last part of our marriage, the last 2 years. And it was really not what happened during the marriage, but what happened after the marriage, or as we were breaking up, that I think crushed me more than anything, because I thought that if I got divorced, I was going to go to hell. I mean, literally, I had no idea that there was a choice. Mm-hmm. And because there were things that happened in my marriage, and I don't really have to go in the detail of that. I just don't think it's important, other than we just had parted ways. Mm-hmm. And he had taken a different route with being very successful. And so as we went through our divorce, the pastor of our church, and honestly, it was just my church because he didn't even go to church with me. Mm-hmm. And I think that was part of the issue too, was that we did not have that same faith foundation that I always prayed and wanted. But the pastor of my church, he told me that I was not welcome at church anymore. And that I had to leave the church. So my daughter could stay, but I had to go. And I just thought, I knew for sure. I mean, that was it. My life was over. There was no coming back from that one, because I had put all my faith in God and the church and thought that they were both the same. And they weren't, I learned that different. I remember my grandmother telling me, first of all, I didn't want my grandmother to know that I was going through a divorce. I think I was one of the first grandchildren to go through a divorce. Of course, I didn't want her knowing. And my mom insisted on telling her, and she called me one day and she said, "You know what? You just go find a church that you can be part of and don't worry about what happened." And so she gave me that hope that, okay, I can do this. I don't have to depend on a church that's going to tell me that I can't be there and make me believe that I was going to go to hell, you know, for going to get a divorce.
Right.
I was protecting myself. I was protecting my daughter. And I felt like I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. So honestly, had I not heard those words from somebody that loved me, that supported me, somebody I could lean to, I probably would not have taken the next steps. And those next steps were taking a look at, okay, we've grown accustomed to a really nice home, you know, having a nice life. I was working for the government, even though that wasn't really what my husband at the time wanted me to do. He wanted me to stay home like his mom did. But I told him we needed insurance benefits if we were going to start a family. And that kind of got me in the door to working. I knew I couldn't stay at home. So, but anyway, after I got divorced and I realized, okay, I've got to put one foot in front of the other and I got to keep moving forward. I've got a little girl that's depending on me. She's looking at me and she was my life. And I thought, I'm going to do this for us. So an opportunity came up for me to go to school, go back to school. One opportunity was to go back to school and get into law enforcement and work as an undercover agent for the agency I was working for. But then another opportunity came up for me to go to work, get paid to go to school and get paid a salary. So, and that was to go to work for the Federal Aviation Administration. So I took that route. It was a 2-year program that I went to school down in Springfield, Missouri. And I took Whitney and we just had the time of our lives. I don't know that I highly recommend, you know, coming out of divorce and totally leaving all your support behind, but I knew that I could count on my parents at that time. I said, if you can just be there for me while I go do this training program, it's going to take me 2 years. So we moved a couple hours away and we joined a new church. We joined a church where the pastor was all welcoming of me. I think part of that was because he was an air traffic controller in his previous life. And so he thought that it was just so awesome that I was going to go to work for the FAA. So they just loved on us and gave us so much support. And I think that I know that's what helped us to kind of get through that next stage. But I learned so much. I learned that I could be independent. I learned that I could do anything I wanted to, which I already knew. I mean, I grew up with a strong mother. My dad was in the Air Force and she traveled a lot. And so my mom took on all the roles of being everything while my dad was away. So I learned had a lot of great mentorship through my childhood. So this really wasn't that big a deal because I knew I had that support system, which if you don't have that support system, find it. And believe it or not, those friends that are surrounding you, if you just reach out and let them know I need you, they're going to be there for you, but they don't automatically come to you because they're kind of waiting. They don't know how to react. You know, my friend that's going through divorce, sometimes they're not really sure how to be there for you. But all you have to do is ask and they're going to gladly want to come and be there for you. Just know that it's somebody that comes from the same heart source as yours. I lean to those people that were faith-based for my support network. But it you know, having that hope of what comes next, that's always been my saving grace. First of all, I realized that God did love me. I mean, after being told previously that, you know, I'm no longer welcome in the church. Well, guess what? God's going to love me regardless. So yeah, that's amazing. And he didn't forget about me and he became my pillar of strength, encouraged to move on. And I think back on how I pulled that strength from all the examples of even, you know, like I said, my mom, but my relationship with God was personal. And I didn't need the church to complete that. I did miss the fellowship. And so that's why when we moved to Springfield, we quickly joined a church down there and felt very welcome. So my life had changed. And this all became the next stepping stone for the next chapter of my life. So I did finish out my program for school to go to work for the FAA and got to move back home. Fortunately, I got a coveted position in here in close to where I am now in Olathe, Kansas. And I got to work at Air Traffic Control Center. And so my background there ended up with electronics, came in as a technician and single mom. I mean, I'm just feeling like I've got this. This is a great career. I've got a beautiful daughter. I carefully picked the school that she was going to go to. Bought a house. I mean, I did all these things that I'd never thought I would be doing that on my own previously, but it just gave me so much strength to know that I had a mission, I had a plan, I knew every day that was going to be a better day, and all those pieces that had kind of been broken apart before had come back together in a better picture, I guess. You know, you think about a puzzle pieces, you know, and they're all laying there, but coming back and they form such a beautiful picture. So life was really good.
I bet a lot of your strength and confidence and hope may have at least been helped by the fact that you did go away from your support system by 2 hours for those 2 years, because you had to rely on yourself and God. And I would imagine that had to have offered you some strength and hope that you might not have tapped into as quickly and easily if you had other people around all the time.
Yeah. And that's so true, because you do. And I think that I've always been okay with being independent. Growing up as an Air Force brat, I guess, you learn to adapt and very quickly, and you learn to make friends pretty easy. You kind of feel like you're thrown out there to the wolves sometimes, but wait, I think the survivor instinct really kicks in. So there's a lot there that I know I had going for me, but yeah, you do. You can sink or you can swim. It is a choice. Mm-hmm. So I could have stayed home and not taken the job that I was offered to start over, or who knows what would have happened then. But I'm very thankful and very grateful for that career that catapulted me into where I am today. But when I moved back to this area, when I bought my house, this is kind of a funny story. And I know that anybody that's in real estate will enjoy this story. The house that I purchased it from a guy who had gone through a divorce, and he was selling his home. And well, I bought it. 6 months later, that same guy moved back in to his house.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I was just wondering how you moved into that relationship number two. So how did you guys even connect during that whole process? Because usually the buyer and seller don't really see each other all that much.
Exactly. Well, it was kind of a funny story, because my mom, having been the woman, you know, of strength and my pillar all these years, she found out. Well, we went looking for houses together when I got back to this area, because she has had so much experience doing that. And so I found a house I liked. It was the perfect setting, you know, the 3-bedroom house, 3 bathrooms, fenced yard, 2-car garage and all that. And just starting my new career. It was in a great neighborhood next to a great school and all that. And when I made my offer, this guy, or I didn't know it was this guy, but anyway, my offer was rejected. So again, my mom, she's like, okay, we're just going to drive by that house and you're going to go up to the doorbell and you're going to ring the doorbell.
Oh, wow.
Let this person know you like his house. So I did. I mean, it was a little push, you know, here we go. The little birdie out of the nest again. You
know? What year was this? Do you remember?
This was in 92.
Okay. And different market. But
yeah,
yes,
yeah. Go ahead. Oh, it was a great market. You know, interest rates were low. Yeah, so I did. I went up to the door, knocked on the door. This guy comes to the door, and I told him I liked his house. He said, "Well, great, it's for sale. Come on in." I'm like, "Well, okay." So I did go in, and I told him that I had placed an offer on his house. I said, "I know this is out of character to be able to go up to the house and actually knock on the door, but I was feeling really confident that day."
Apparently.
So he just said, we actually sat down for 2 hours and talked, and he showed me around the house again. And he said, "Well, why don't you just go ahead and place another offer on the house, or place the offer again?" And I said, "Okay." So I went back, and of course my real estate agent was like, "This is kind of weird, you know."
You did what?
Yeah. And I didn't tell her yet that I had actually.
Oh, okay.
So she went ahead, submitted the offer again. Of course, he accepted this time. And
now, did he tell you why he didn't accept it the first time?
Not really. No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. And you didn't change anything about the offer the second time?
I didn't change anything. Yeah.
Okay.
So.
You made quite an impression on the seller.
I made the offer.
Apparently.
So what was really funny was I went back home and I waited for all the transactions to take place. And we kind of went back and forth because my inspection kind of showed some things I really wanted him to take care of. Mm-hmm. And I even made it a point to my realtor. I said, "Look, I don't know how to fix these things. So they're going to have to be fixed before I move in." You know? So he was getting a little bit agitated with that, but he still kind of kept his cool about it. He said, okay, I'm going to take care of it. So he took care of these things. It was just, I think, a drainage issue and maybe one other thing. So I got the house, I moved in, and that was in October. I had started my new job in August. So I was living in temporary housing until I moved in. And then, so I moved in on October 5th and his mail had come to my house. So I tried to reach out to the realtor to let her know that I have mail for this guy. And she told me, she said, well, I have to tell you that this guy has been trying to get a hold of you. And I said, what? She said, well, he wanted to know if you wanted to go to a Chiefs game.
This is a full service agent.
She told him that that was not her job to connect us and that to leave me alone.
That's hilarious.
So she was looking out for me. So, but I had got his mail and I said, well, I really need to get a hold of him so I know what to do with it. So she did give me his information. I contacted him. I said, you're welcome to pick up your mail. I can forward it to you. I can take it to work, whatever. And he chose to come by to pick it up. So
of course he did.
And of course he helped me move boxes and furniture and he showed me some things around the house he thought I might want to know about. And, you know, I was feeling like this is kind of cool. What a great welcome to this community and such great people. And again, just feeling really good about where things were going. And, so fast forward, we ended up going out to eat. He invited myself and my daughter. And then our second date, we went to church and I met a lot of his friends. And it was really a great experience. And I thought, this is really cool. This is somebody that I get along great with. He's got a daughter the same age as mine, and the girls get along great. We're going on play dates. We're just building a fun relationship, connecting on, you know, I love that he was a Christian. I loved his heart and things were moving fast. And I thought, okay, this is okay. We can do this, you know? And we did. We had about a 6-month relationship before we got married.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So I just thought I had the person that supported me, was totally fine with the fact, because I even asked him, when we first met, I told him about where my career path was going and that I was looking at a great future, great income. If at any point in time, would he be uncomfortable if I ever made more money than him? And he's like, oh no, that would be awesome. You know, I'm like, yeah, that's what I want to hear because I don't want anybody to feel threatened by it.
Yeah.
Because I know that there are some men in our world that don't really care for that. So But I didn't want to stifle what was happening with my career because I worked so hard to get there going through 2 years of training. And that training was grueling, by the way. I opened the book the first day and I thought I was looking at Greek. But again, I think that goes back to my story and hope is that page by page, I learned something every day. And I built on that every day. And I was so hopeful to get through that, taking it step by step, day by day, until I finally graduated from that program, which was an amazing feat. And it didn't go without having tutors. I did have some tutors, but it was hard, but I made it. And I made it through a testing program that normally washes out people after I finished that program. And so I had made it through so many hurdles. There wasn't anything that was going to stop me from my, you know, what I had goals for. So, and I thought at the time that this guy, the one I was, you know, getting ready to marry for the second time, you know, second husband, would be right on board with that. So, but we did get married. We blended our family and we were married for 17 years. That was a long marriage. I kind of wonder sometimes if part of the reason why we stayed married 17 years is because he traveled a lot. But I'm going to kind of get into a little bit of the grit of this just because I think it is relevant. And this guy was an imposter. He turned out to be an imposter. And I say that because on the outside, And if my voice shakes, it's because you're going to feel my emotion. Mm-hmm. It is difficult still to this day to think about those 17 years. On the outside, he was perfect. You know, we had the perfect life. We went to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, every day that that church doors opened. We were involved in the church. Our girls were always picture perfect. They never walked out of the house without a hair out of place. I mean, everybody looked like we were in our Sunday best. We were the Cleaver family, you know. I mean, kind of reminded me of Jim Cleaver, you know. It was just amazing how we appeared everywhere we went. But I think after the first time that I had gone shopping with my mom right after we were married, and I came home after about 4 hours of shopping, he wanted to know where I had been and why I was gone so long and why I didn't notify him. And I told him, I said, well, I don't have a cell phone. I mean, I hadn't even thought about it, buying a cell phone at the time. And this is still the early 90s. And so he went and bought me a cell phone. So I thought, oh, that's cool. You know, that was really nice. But I didn't realize what that cell phone really meant to him. It was a way that he could keep track of me.
Yeah.
So as our marriage continued, there was a lot of little things that happened that, you know, red flags just kept coming up. And I don't know where those red flags were in the beginning, before the marriage, if I just didn't have my eyes wide open. But it got worse. And before I knew it, the person that I had become, I wasn't that person anymore. I felt like I had totally lost everything that I had worked so hard for to become, that independent person that, you know, was there to, you know, build a great life for us, for my new husband, my new family, my new home. I mean, it just, I just felt like everything was kind of living a lie. And, you know, we were living two lives, basically. So, yeah. You know, and I had to be there for our kids. In the meantime, we had a son together as well. So, but immediately after having my son, there was always a threat. This threat started coming in that if you ever decide to leave me, I will make sure that you don't get custody of our son. And I thought that was really strange because I never talked about leaving, because I, at this point in my marriage, I'm still thinking, oh my gosh, I'm not about to have a second failed marriage, you know?
Yeah.
And the other thing is that I didn't let anybody know what was going on. I was just ashamed to think that this was happening again, might go down that divorce road again. But I was working. By this time, I'd also become a manager. So I had a high profile position in my job. You know, I had to be there for my employees. I had to be there for the safety of the flying public. I had to, you know, I worked not only at work, but I was also on the board for an accredited daycare. I was a regional director for a national organization for technical women. You know, so I had a lot of responsibilities. So I had a lot of balls. I was juggling all the time and trying to maintain. Plus, I had a son that had asthma. And I probably about twice a week, we would end up at Children's Mercy in the emergency room in the evening. And all this time, my husband was traveling. He wasn't there for all these events with the kids, but he was there on the weekends. And he was usually busy trying to catch up on those things that I couldn't keep up with, like taking care of the lawn and such, but in the house. So it all came to a head. And it came to a head because what happened and what happens when you stop taking care of yourself and, you know, you're living that dual life, things will come crashing down. And I found myself with being diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. I got to the point where I couldn't walk without a cane. And I remember laying in bed one day just saying, God, just please take me home. I can't live this life like this anymore. You know, living a life of lies and lying to myself about that this was going to get better and it wasn't going to get better, living with a man who only wanted to think about himself. I finally learned what the terminology meant when somebody said that he was narcissistic. And so that became a realization, and I could certainly pinpoint all the, I guess, the diagnosis of what was happening there. So it was a hard realization, but, you know, God had other plans for me, and He basically let me know that He wasn't going to take me home because I have two kids that were, you know, counting on me to take care of them. And He reminded me that having that faith in Him and recalling that hope that I had before, that I needed to have that again, and that this was going to pass, really. But that, still saying that, you can say it, but in to do it are two different things. But right. I got out of bed and I surrounded myself with friends who I knew that loved me. And I found a church where I knew I was welcomed again, because once again, I went through the whole church thing where this time the church members came to me and told me that I needed to leave because my husband was talking really bad about me and that the men in the church were supporting him. Oh, wow. So, you know,
wow.
At this time you think, wow, I'm kind of done with the whole church organization. But yeah. I didn't, because I knew in my heart that I had found a new church home. I actually went through a divorce recovery class with this church, and they welcomed me again. Here I am, single again, you know, becoming single again and being welcomed into church again. Yeah, it was great. And I think it was great because I made it great because I knew in my heart and I had hope for a better future. And even though everything that had taken place those last 17 years, it wasn't going to change who I was deep down and who I wanted to be and how I wanted to show up for my children and how I wanted to show up for others in my life. But yeah, it just, the one thing about being in that dark place was things were still happening around me. I mean, the sun still came up and the sun still set in the evenings. I still had to get my kids up and dressed for school. They still had to go to school. Life was going on for them. They still had, you know, dance recitals and soccer games. And so I still had to be there for them. And there was always that something to look forward to. And I liked having that to look forward to. You know, hope, it brings us that desire. And that desire, you know, brings back a reason to get back in the game. So, you know, when I talk about hope, when I looked up the message of, or the meaning of hope, it talks about to cherish a desire with anticipation and to want something to happen or to be true. So, and I don't know if you know this, but the word hope is mentioned in the Bible about 129 times. Yeah. It's one of the most important virtues alongside faith and love. Mm-hmm. So after that second marriage, I took a break. I took a long pause for myself. And I did exactly what I did before. I started leaning into myself this time even more so. And I had to learn to forgive myself because I found out that God forgives us, you know. Mm-hmm. And if He can forgive us, then why not forgive ourselves? And I forgave myself. And I knew that with that, it was a new life. It was time to start over. And with your words, starting over stronger, I mean, nothing was going to hold me back. I was still on my journey of getting my health back, but I definitely made a great comeback with that by learning about nutrition and exercise and things to mentally, you know, get my mental back, sharpen my skills, leaning into my strength, my Lord, and those people around me again that supported me. But when the day came that my career was going really well, I mean, things were looking up. I started another management job with the FAA. This time was in program management. I was getting to travel a lot, getting to be part of some amazing programs, and just really finding a sweet spot in my life. And as things were going well, a friend of mine reached out to me and she asked me about dating again. And I'm thinking, oh, there's no way.
I just got everything going well.
Yeah, there's no way I want to do this again. But she said, you know, think about dating online. And that was really foreign to me. I thought that dating online was I don't know. I for some reason, I just couldn't wrap my head around it. So mm-hmm. because of my background and I guess my work background in working with a lot of systems and working with a lot of strategy, and I said, well, okay, I can do this. So, and you're going to laugh at this one, but she said, you need to date 3 people at a time. And I'm thinking, oh my word,
how can I do that? I don't have that kind of time.
It's like, you know, you just date 3 people at a time. And then, you know, you get rid of a couple of them and maybe date that one and bring 2 more in. I thought, okay, I'm starting to see the picture here. So I got out my spreadsheet and I just started scheduling those dates.
Oh my goodness.
And I had fun. I just decided this is a project kind of, you know, I just wanted to have fun and get out there and find out. I'm learning about who I am. I'm learning about what I like, what I don't like, because really I had lost all that mm-hmm. through my marriages. And I have so much to bring to the table from my marriages and what I've learned, and had decided during that journey that it wasn't going to be that I had failed at those marriages, but that I went through them for a reason so that I could share with others and help them.
Yeah.
So as I was out there dating, I don't think I mentioned this, but I had also had worked on a board for a nonprofit that was helping women that had come out of abused relationships and to help them find a home and get back on their feet again. And through that process, it was a great healing process for me as well. But it helped me to realize, what am I looking for if I do find, you know, if God does prepare that person for me again. So I dated. I kept my spreadsheet. I wrote down what I liked, what I didn't like, what qualities, what virtues, what things that I thought mattered to me. And I learned more about myself. And I did get into a relationship for a short time, which was good because it felt good. It's like, okay, I can do this. You know, I don't have to be alone. It's not that I was alone and felt like it was a woe's me, because I really enjoyed my time, I guess, my me time. But I thought, okay, this is pretty cool. Maybe God does want me to be with somebody. So I started devising a prayer based on those things, that the qualities that I wanted, that I was looking for, and those things that I thought God was wanting me to find as well. And I was on my dating site and I happened to run across a guy who worked in the same industry as me. And he was actually a retired air traffic controller. And I thought, oh, I probably know him. So I reached out and I said, might sound like a pickup line, but I probably know you. And he's on the other end saying, oh, I don't know you because you don't have a picture. So that was okay, because what I put in my profile was exactly what I was looking for. It was almost like a job description probably, but I was very specific. I was very intentional about what I wanted. You know, I'd learned a lot of lessons along the way, I guess. But so he did agree to meet with me, and only because I told him that I don't really care for the whole texting back and forth and the, you know, going back and forth. So we got together right away. I said, coffee or dinner, whatever, let's just get together. And we found out that we did in fact know who each other was. We actually worked at the same place, although when we worked there years ago, we were both married to other people. So there was no reason for us to really converse. But it was so fun to meet somebody who could speak the same language and understood where I was working and what kind of work I did. And because that was important to me still. I mean, it was still part of me and who I was, because, you know, being the single mom, you know, single person, you do have to work hard at being able to live that single life, you know, you know, keep your home and maintain everything. So it was important that I had a good career. And that was important to be recognized that way for me anyway. And to be recognized that I had worked hard for that. But then to find out that we held so many of the same values. We both had been through similar situations. Our first spouses, I guess. We both had been married twice before, but our first spouses, we both have good relationships with today. And, you know, we both had children. And although he had grandchildren, that was obviously going to be new to me. but we lived in the same town. We visited the same places, and it was just really refreshing. So we developed a very fast friendship and relationship. And here we go again. I was married within 6 months again. But this time it was so different. And it was so different because I told my husband, and his name is Eric. I told him, I said, I feel like I need to at least go through 4 seasons before I consider marriage. And so we met in the winter and we were married in the fall. So we actually did go through 4 seasons. And then after I met Eric, my dad became ill and he ended up passing away. Before he passed away, Eric asked him, he asked my dad if he could marry me. And I just thought that was so amazing. And of course, my dad, you know, laying there in the hospital in hospice, he said yes, but he looked at me and he looked at Eric and he realized that we were where we were supposed to be. And so he did pass. And I think he passed knowing that I was in good hands. So,
that's so sweet.
My dad was really the only one I had left in my family. My mom and my brother had passed away years ago. Mm-hmm. So, and I have to say that that was really tough going through all those years without my mom. But again, I just feel like there were so many reasons that I just kept surviving all those things in the past because there wasn't somebody there to fall back on. You brought up a good point earlier and I hadn't really thought about, you know, when I moved away that first time, but then later when the Lord took my mom, I mean, and then not having her through those adult years, because we still need our moms. But anyway, kind of back to my dad, he passed on, but Eric and I, it was wonderful to have him there through that period of time. And together we brought each other hope because of our relationships. We've grown very close together and talking about them, not over belaboring them, but just talking about what can we do different and
learning,
strengthen our marriage.
Yeah.
And I couldn't be happier. I mean, this is a guy that I can get up in the mornings with and have coffee with and do our morning devotionals together with and plan our day, plan our lives. And I realized that all those years of staying hopeful has brought me to where I am today. And we're going to face trials and tribulations and sickness and pain, but you know, God's always with us and he is going to see us through to that next chapter. Yeah. And I just always go back to him and knowing that without him in my life, meaning God, not Eric, but without my life, I would not be the person I am today. And so I get to, you know, help others to also see that and inspire them and show him how he loves us no matter what. He takes those broken pieces and he puts them back together. But we have to ask him. We do have to talk to him and we do have to let him know that we want him in our lives and he's going to be there. He's always there and he's always waiting. Sometimes he's probably just standing there with his arms crossed. You know, I envision this like, okay, I'm waiting for you to ask me. And all we have to do is just ask him and he's going to be there for us. So I'm very, very grateful and blessed to know that I have that Heavenly Father in my life and that he has brought me through to where I am today. And I love this. I love today. You know, it's wonderful. So
very good. Very good. That's awesome. Well, that, friends, is how hope makes everything possible. She's got a story, huh? Thank you for sharing. This has been wonderful. I've loved learning more about you than I already knew, which I loved everything I knew and I still do. So I think it's you know, you're the perfect person to talk about how hope makes everything possible because you just emanate that. You just bubble up with hope. You know, every time I have a conversation with you, I mean, you're one of the most positive people I've ever met. And sometimes positivity can be toxic, if that makes any sense at all. I've known some people that their positivity drove me nuts because it was so fake, but it's not like that at all with you. It's very genuine and very authentic and truly it does make everything possible because your focus is on all of the possibilities. Mm-hmm. And I think what we focus on grows. So, and I've seen that proven in my own life and in others' lives over and over again. So thank you for focusing on the good and sharing with listeners today on how they can do the same and make their dreams come true by doing so.
Yeah, that. Thank you, Annie. I do appreciate you. And I hope that there's something there that somebody was able to hear that would give them that spark of hope, because we all know too well that it could, we might not have that. And to be looking for that. So
Thank you again. Listeners, thank you for joining us today. I hope that you have, I know that you've certainly been inspired today. How could you be listening and not be? But whatever it is that speaks to you today, I hope that you'll take action on it and choose to look at the situation from a hopeful point of view and as to what it is that you can do and what is possible and move forward in that direction. Thank you for joining us again this week. And I'll see you again next week for more help as you divorce and hope as you are starting over stronger.